We spent 2 weeks on the Sheep Gate, and then last week on Mother's Day, John and Kate took us through all the gates, and that was really fun and really cool. And today we're at the Fish Gate. Verse 3 of Nehemiah says, "Also the sons of Hasanah built the Fish Gate, and they laid its beams, and they hung its doors with its bolts and bars." And Miss Kay mentioned this, and I think I also mentioned it. The gates of the city were the weakest place where they were most vulnerable to attack from the enemy. And Nehemiah saw all of these gates in total desolation. And then he goes on to mention some other folks that jumped in and were helping. And next to them were Meremoth, the son of Urijah, the son of Koz, who made repair. And next to them was Meshullam, the son of Barakiah, and the son of Mezebel. And I mispronounced all those, but that's okay. And they made repairs. And then next to them was Zadok, the son of Bana. They made repairs. And they're all working on the gates. Now, it doesn't take much of a rocket scientist to figure out what some of these gates are about. Because the Sheep Gate was about sheep. Today, the Fish Gate is about fish. It's about fish. And so that this is one of those gates where people went, and after they had their catch of fish, then they would sell these fish at the Fish Gate, okay? Now, how does this apply to us spiritually, the Fish Gate? Because Jesus is going to use fish an awful lot in his ministry. Whether it's him telling his disciples to go catch a fish so that they can pay their taxes, or whether the fish is representing meeting people's needs. When he fed the 4,000 and then again fed the 5,000 on separate occasions, he uses and talks a lot about fish. And then he's going to even, we're going to see in a moment, we go back to Matthew chapter 13, and Jesus is going to liken the kingdom of God to fishing. Fishing is very important. Now, we're in Luke chapter 5. We're going to read the story again. And here's the characters that we're talking about. We're talking about two partners, two teams of fishermen. The first team is Peter and Andrew. The second team is James and John. And so we'll start reading in Luke chapter 5. "So it was, as the multitude pressed about Jesus to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret." Now, this is called Gennesaret here, but somewhere else you might hear it called the Sea of Tiberias, or you might hear it, Brandon, what's another city close by? Sea of Galilee. It's kind of like Lake Fork. Every town claims Lake Fork is their own. And somehow I think Quitman has the least claimed Lake Fork there is, but somehow, just because they call it, you know, their lake, all right? But it's the same thing with this sea. Whatever little town was on the edge of it would claim to it. And so here is the Lake of Gennesaret. "And they saw two boats standing by the lake, and the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then Jesus got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and he asked him to put out a little from the land. And Jesus sat down and taught the multitudes from the boats. And when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, 'Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch.' And Simon answered and said to him, 'Master, we have toiled all night and we have caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net.' And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat," James and John, "they signaled to the partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man.' For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And also them were James and John," as I just said, "the sons of Zebedee, who were partners. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men.' So when they had brought the boats to land, they forsook all and followed him." Now, many people feel this story is a prophetic foreshadowing of the outpouring of the harvest that we're going to see. We see the very first harvest because this story is repeated again at the end of John. We see it here in Luke chapter 5. Then we see this same story be repeated again of a harvest of fish at the end of John where the nets didn't break. And many people feel that this story right here is a prophetic foreshadowing of the outpouring of the harvest that we saw in Acts chapter 2, where Peter gets up and he says, "These men are not drunk as you suppose, but this is what was prophesied by Joel." And he gives the altar call, and 5,000 come immediately that day and were added to the kingdom of God. How many of you know that in the last days, right before Jesus comes back, there is going to be another outpouring of His Spirit, bless God, and there's going to be a great harvest of souls, a great harvest of fish that is going to take place. And we get to be a part of that harvest if, everyone say if we're fishing. You cannot catch fish ever if you don't go fishing. If you don't hear anything else I say today, we've got to get this in our hearts, church. Now, there's a species of carp that live in the rivers of the United States that are killing people. How many of you have seen the stories and seen the videos? These Asian carp, it's kind of like they're saying, you know, have you seen the fainting sheep? They get excited and they just go, pfft. Well, these carp, same thing happens. Something triggers them and they jump up in the air. And if you happen to be in a boat going by at 30 miles an hour, you might get an 8 or 10-pound carp on your head and knock you out. And they literally jump out of the water by the thousands. And it is so dangerous for people driving down those rivers because of, well, listen, you won't have to worry about that because here's the thing. And this is the main, I'll say it now and then we'll come back to it later. People don't like to fish because fish stink. I'm just being truthful. People don't like to fish, George. Because if you're going to fish, you're going to deal with stinky fish. If we're going to fish for the harvest of God, hello, we're going to have to get our hands dirty and maybe a little stinky. Because they're not going to come jumping in our boat like these Asian carp do and knock us out and say, "Tell me about Jesus." They're not going to do it. So here's some thoughts. Do something. This was a menial task Jesus asked them to do. Put your boat out just a little bit. Can I tell you something? When it comes to the kingdom of God, more is done with what seems like menial tasks that matter nothing are more important than me many times standing up here. Whether it's the folks in the nursery this morning, the children's ministry, our greeters, there's all types of the ministry of the maintenance of our lawn every week. All these things are being done. Because again, the Lord's probably not going to ask you to do something big until we first just do something small. Amen. We just got to be willing to put our hands to the task. And to get, even though you're, I won't say tired. Now here's a really funny word. Retire. Retire. Ever thought about that word? You work all your life and you're tired. So now you're going to retire. But you got to do something. Everyone say, do something.
You've got to find out what it is that you are gifted to do. What does the Lord put in your hand? We've talked about this so many times before. Moses, what is in your hand? A stick. Good. You're ready to go. Hello? What has the Lord placed in your hand? What has He gifted you with? What has He given you with? And then do something, even though you are like the disciples and you might be tired, because these gentlemen were tired. And then He said, next point, let down your, I want to say nets. Everyone, let down your nets. And if this, now we're getting to the actual fishing part. If we're going to reach people, if we're going to be a part of the harvest of God that He's going to bring before His return, we have to be letting down our nets. But I can't go that far this morning. Because for most people, they don't even know where the lake is. And if they know where the lake is, they never carry around anything to catch a fish. There are three types of fishing that I want you to think about today. And again, I may be giving you way too much information about fishing, but that's all right. It's okay. The first type of fishing is done with a rod and reel. You know what the purpose of this fishing is? Why you have a rod and reel, Langdon? Because I am going to, depending on what particular species of fish that I'm going to catch, is what I'm going to put on the end of my line. Think about this. The first type of fishing is going after a particular kind of fish. Daniel, when you go into the prisons and you throw it out there, what type of bait am I going to use to catch and to prick the soul and the heart of an inmate? Not the same bait, though, that you would use to go talk to the Rotary Club or to go talk to a group of bankers. You have to have a special bait for that, those inmates, didn't you? When we do children's ministry, can I use the same bait that I use? Well, sometimes I don't get very much more than that deep past the child. I want it easy to understand and entertaining. But how many of you know, I have this rod particularly laid out so that when I throw this in the water, I have a pretty good idea of what I'm going to catch. There's going to be either a brim or something in the perch family or hopefully a big old crappie that's going to jump on the end of this line. It's set up for that. Now, if I decide I want to go after another species of fish, what do I have to do? I have to change bait. You need to be aware of what type of fish you're going after. This is important. You want to, because the Lord will give you an insight and a favor on catching certain types of people. Hello? Your personality is given to you so that you can go out there and you can let your net down. You can use your pole and swim the bait by. And oh, don't we have a great bait? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I took the hooks off, just so you won't be afraid over there. Okay, this is the first type of fishing. And this is targeting a specific group or a specific individual that you are trying to get. If we decided that we wanted to go bass fishing or go after another species of fish, if we're going to go on after catfish or after carp, we're going to have a whole different type of fishing. And different type of lure presentation. The second type of fishing is this fishing right here. Now, this fishing involves sight fishing. You see the school of mullet, or you see the school of baitfish,
and then you throw that out on top of the school. Okay? It makes sense? I see the school of baitfish, or I see the school of whatever it is I'm trying to catch in this net. Down at the coast, it's mullet. Anyone ever eaten mullet? Delicious. Mullet's delicious. Particularly smoked. And when they come by in schools and you see them on the surface and you wait for them and you crouch down, the last second you throw this thing out there and poof, and then it sinks down and you bring them in. Again, think about this. How much sense does it make for Jesus to tell Peter, Peter, launch out to the deep and throw these nets? That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. You will never catch a fish throwing this out into the deep and letting it down. The fish will see it coming and will swim away long before the net gets close to them. Now it sinks in a little bit more why they were astonished at the catch. The third type of net is called a seine. It's called a dragnet. And if you've ever done seining, it is hard work. Because about the time you make 2 or 3 feet pulling that seine, all of a sudden now it's filled with grass and anything else. Because the seine catches everything. One person stands on shore right here and anchors the net. The other person, let's say the net goes all the way to that room, that wall over there, the corner. And then they start out, and the net has sinkers that go on the bottom and have floats that go on the top. And everything that gets pulled into the drag net, everything gets caught. Now, Jesus said, let down your nets, right? But Jesus said, Peter said, okay, I'll let down my net. Jesus said, plural. Peter said, I'll humor you, and I'll let down my net. I've gotten ahead of myself one verse, but that's all right. Matthew 13:47, again, the kingdom of heaven is like this dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered creatures of every kind. When you throw a seine in and you drag it, it catches. There's no discrimination whatsoever. Which when it is full, they drew to shore and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but they threw the bad away. So it'll be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire, and there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. This net draws all types. Can I tell you something today? We need all three types of fishing going on in the kingdom of God. We need discriminatory, where we're going after certain people or certain kinds, or certain people that God puts in your path. We need the sight fishing. We need to be able to recognize when people are open to the gospel. There are certain transitions in people's lives when they're more open to the gospel. When people are going through transition, any type of transition, they are way more open to the gospel. Whether they've just gone through a divorce, whether they've just lost somebody, or if they've just moved from one place to another and they're in transition, they are much, much, much more open to the gospel. And when those people come into our lives, we need to have this net ready. Cast it out. Then we need the dragnet. We need the ones that is just a broad, wide, whosoever type of ministry that we need to be supporting and doing. We need to be letting our nets down. Amen. Number three today. Don't argue, just obey. Don't argue, just obey. And Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing, but because it's your word, I will let down a net. Peter kind of had a little bit of an attitude. He's the professional fisherman. He's the one that knows it all. But can I tell you what? Most believers have an attitude when it comes to sinners. And this is what's sad.
We don't want to go fishing because fish stink. But can I encourage you today? The sinners that God puts for us to go after, that's why they're called sinners. Think about that word, sinner, and what that implies. Because that's what they do. Because hunters hunt, and golfers or lie. And sinners sin. And it takes compassion to want to go after them. It takes compassion to have God's heart to want to go and fish after these ones because the smell sometimes is horrific and the mess that they've got their lives into. You catch them, God will clean them. Hello? You catch them, and God will clean them. That's the good news. I love catching fish. I hate cleaning fish. I go over to John's house, and we'll catch a big mess of fish, come back, and John's like, I'll take care of this. And I'm like, no, because I know if you're really going to clean fish, it's more fun to do it with somebody else. And so I'll help them clean fish. But the good news is when we catch fish, you catch them and God will clean them. You catch them and God will clean them up. You just do your part. But again, most Christians, they don't even own a pole. They're not willing. They don't know where the lake is. And here's why we get so upset. It's kind of like, imagine with me today. If I took you to Mexico City, if you've ever been in Mexico City, it is unbelievable. Slug bugs everywhere. But you know what? As many people and cars as there are in Mexico City, they do not have lanes. When you go overseas, so many places are like this. There are no lanes for the cars to drive. And you know what they do? They just go with the flow. And as a result, the whole time I was in Mexico City, I never saw a traffic jam. Because they just all go. Whereas in America, somebody pulls into our line, our lane, we lose it. We get all upset. Because we think, this is the way you're supposed to drive. This is the way you're supposed to act. And over there, they don't know any better. There are no lines and there are no lanes. And so they just drive. Of course, I was in one taxi. He thought the sidewalk was just as good as the road. Can I tell you what? You didn't know about the lines or the lanes either until you met Jesus. When we came to the saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus, then we understood about the lines and that there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death. But before we come to Jesus, we didn't understand that. All our ways seemed right to us. And we were proud of it and happy for it. But then when the knowledge and the truth came to us, that there is a way that seems right to a man, that the end is death, then we understood the penalty of sin. And for us today, and for most believers, we can't get bent out of shape because these sinners are doing these things. We've got to have compassion and love like Jesus had for them. I thought about it. And again, the parable of the wheat and tares is still in my heart so deeply in that we don't have enough friends who are sinners. We had a wonderful celebration last night. There wasn't one sinner. And it seems like a lot of our celebrations, in times we get together, there's no sinners. How are we going to fish if we're not in the lake, getting our hands dirty and smelling like fish? I'm not saying we compromise the gospel, church. You understand my heart today? But what are we doing? And the only way we're going to catch fish is to be where the fish are.
I don't even know the way to say it. We've got to be where the fish are. Pastor Jackson used to say, and it's so true, the church who's not interested in saving the lost has lost itself. And it's so very, very true. As we close this morning, don't be surprised when you catch some fish. You know why? Fish are always biting. I don't care if the water's turning over. And again, you know, as fishermen, we analyze all these things. Is the moon right? Is the temperature of the water right? I asked Elton yesterday, what's the temperature of the lake? Elton, 76 degrees. Oh, that's good. But you know what? Even if it was 56 degrees, the fish are still biting. I just have to have a little bit different presentation. Don't be surprised when you catch some fish. These guys, for Peter and all who are with them, were astonished at the catch of the fish. Jesus gave them a plan. And when Jesus gives you a plan, it's going to work.
I just want to interrupt this morning as we've come to the end of our time together. I want to say thank you so much for listening to our online broadcast of one of my messages on the Fishgate. And what a wonderful series we're in. Let me pray with you this morning. Father, Lord, we love you today. And just thank you so much that, Father, I remember when I gave my heart to you, even as a little boy, you took me and you loved me. Even though I was my attitude and my heart was sinful, Father, you forgave me and gave me a brand new life and a future, a great future. And I thank you do that for every person who's listening to this broadcast this morning. And Lord, if there are believers who are listening, I just pray today they will be encouraged to begin to fish in a greater and a harder way. And Lord, I thank you that you're going to bless their endeavors to fish and bless their endeavors to come out of their comfort zone. Father, we thank you for this time that we've had together. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.